a great theologian that I wanted to share with you. Her name is Cindy Lou Who. Let's watch for a moment. Okay, we'll pause there. She goes on and the Grinch shows up and all that. But you know that question, where are you, Christmas? We can maybe paraphrase it today as really what I think she's asking is, where is the joy? Where did the joy go? We have a lot of hectic, busy schedules, don't we? But in the middle of it, do we have any joy? Do we have anything that we can say, I can put my hand on and say, it's joy? Sometimes Christmas is a lot like those really sweet treats we get. It gives you a really quick high, and then you crash. But Christmas is supposed to be deeper than that. And we want to ask that question, where did Christmas go? Well, I want to suggest to you as we start that there are two possible answers just to get us going. First is our problem is that too often we're looking in the wrong places. We're looking in the wrong places for joy. Have you ever lost something before? Last Sunday, we had a Christmas concert, and I was looking for this vest. And we needed to leave like 3 minutes earlier. And where did my vest go? I was looking at all the usual places. It wasn't there. And then I discovered I very carefully placed it in a place where I would remember where it was. I put it on my bed so I would put it on. It wasn't in my... So we do that. We think we know where things are, and then usually what we've lost is exactly where we left it. If we could only remember, right? And for some of us, we're discovering that our memory isn't always happening, is it? Second of all, we are counting on something temporal to give us something eternal. We're counting on something that is bound by time, finite, to give us an eternal joy. It's not going to happen. Think about this. Many times we think this phrase in our brain. We may not directly express it, but we say this. The next blank will give me joy. The next blank will give me joy. For example, let me just fill in the blank with a few things. The next movie will give me joy. Or how about just the next movie trailer will give me joy? 900 million people, whatever, that kind of thing, watching one trailer. The next sale will give me joy. The next party will give me joy. The next sports game, that will give me joy. Sometimes it's not, though, right? Depression. The next toy will give me joy. The next house, I'll finally be happy. The next church will give me joy. Watch out, I'm stepping on toes here. The next move to a new area will give me joy. Or the next relationship will give me joy. Or, God help us, the next spouse will give me joy. We tend to think of something else. And see, it's not really a problem to look forward to things, but it's happiness, it's not joy. We cannot hang our joy upon those things. So where do we look? Well, I'd like to suggest, obviously, we look in the Bible, but today is a day about music. We had a wonderful time together in worship, and I just heard from Keith Getty. I was listening to an interview. He shared, do you realize that the Bible is 20% song? All of the Psalms is song. Song of Solomon, song. All the way through, there's song through this. Now, as a musician, I would have loved to have been present because we can read the words, we don't get to hear the music. Wouldn't that have been amazing? Here's some of the songs I would have loved to have heard. What about right after the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea? And it says Miriam and the others got those tambourines and they started singing, the horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. What would have that sounded like? We have an idea. We do go, we get that music. what about the time when Solomon was dedicating the temple? And it says they were just doing worship, and it was a great worship set, but something else happened. It said the temple was filled with a cloud to the level that the musicians couldn't stay in there. What would those chords have been? What would that have been like? You hear that song? What about the song when the angels were surrounding God, and Isaiah saw it, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, the whole earth is filled with your glory." What about the song Acts 16, when Paul and Silas, they began to sing some hymns? What were those hymns? Those were amazing hymns. Those were rocking hymns. Literally, the whole prison fell open from that music. And what about the song it says in heaven, when it says thousands upon thousands are going to be singing? And I was thinking about this, and of course I have an idea. We have certain chords that we use. Here is the flat 6, flat 7, and 1 that really makes an amazing heavenly sound. Oh, give me a little more volume. I want this to be really impressive. And you keep going bigger, and way up here, and we're there. Now, I don't know whether that's going to be what it is, but we translate it into chords, don't we, and music like what that is. Now, one of the songs I would have loved to have been present for, it was very brief, was the song of the angels at Christmas. It said there was one angel that gave the announcement, and suddenly the whole sky was full, and they were singing a song that we try to translate into music. And I'm going to give one that a famous composer gave us near the end of this message. But what would that have sounded like? Well, that's the title of my message today, Christmas Joy and the Angels' Song. Christmas Joy and the Angels' Song. So let's open our Bibles and let's read at least the words and imagine what it would have sounded like. Luke chapter 2. Verse 13 and 14. And it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" But now we have a problem. We have a challenge there, because if you were trying to follow along with me, I put two versions up there, didn't I? I just read the New King James Version, but the NIV says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The New American Standard says it this way: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." But then you have the New King James, which we just read: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, we're very familiar with that one. But recent versions of the Bible have done it in a slightly different way. So the question is this a two-part song? Glory to God in the highest heaven, comma, second part, "and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests." Or is it a three-part song? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, there's a reason why this is important. Is it goodwill only toward those with whom God is pleased? Or is it goodwill toward all men? Now, here is the challenge. Now, let's look at this next slide here. I'm going to teach you a little bit of, you're jumping ahead on me here. But I want you to look at this key manuscript issue. Now, let me explain this for you. The Bible was literally written in Greek. If that looks Greek to you, it is. And there are different versions and slight variations. It doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong. In fact, there is an original way that it came. It's just that there have been minor variations that have come out through the centuries. So we have the difference between the first one up there and the second one. I'm going to ask a Where's Waldo question. Who can tell me what is different between the top line and the second line? There's one difference. Yeah, that is an S. It looks like a funny looking S, but that really is an S in Greek. And you can recognize that. You can probably notice an E and an A. The one that's confusing probably is the V is an N. All right, but literally what it says is "among men of his goodwill." The S is like, that's Susie's, that's Charles. It's a possessive, and it's a tense that means of men with whom he is well pleased. That's the one that these other versions have followed. Or is it "among men, goodwill"? And now Greek switches the order sometimes, so we would say "goodwill among men." Which is it? All right, well, let's ask that question and let's answer it this way. Well, actually, let's get this comment right here. This gentleman lives in Israel, and he shares, go ahead to the next slide. And he says, the difference of one letter significantly changes the meaning of the angelic proclamation from God's goodwill being directed toward all mankind to his peace resting solely upon those of his will, the elect. And we see this even within the Jewish community. Some, like the ones that were in the Essene community and the Qumran scrolls, they stressed, oh, it's about God being for us. We're the special ones. Have you ever seen Christians like, I'm the chosen one? I don't know about you, but I'm special. And then you've got Abraham being told by God, I am going to bless you, and through you, every family of the world is going to be blessed. So which is it? What's the answer in the Christmas story? Well, let's go ahead. Let's take a look at Luke verse 2 verse 10. It says this. Go ahead and put it up there. Then the angel, the first angel, said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Here's the joy, which will be to all people. Can you say that with me? All people. So here is the conclusion. I'm going to put my hat on this one. So the Christmas story is not all about us. It's all about God and his love for the whole world. Can you say amen? Amen. It's universal. You see, the point is actually crucial to our search for joy because we need to understand it's not just about us. Anybody ever read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life? It was an amazing book. And by the way, that gentleman, Rick Warren, he made so much on that book that he decided he was going to keep 10% and give away 90% of it. That's called a reverse tithe. Now, that's a whole nother level of faith, but that's amazing that he didn't take it. But the very first, and he modeled it because the very first line in that book, I don't know if you remember, says, it's not about you.
We need to ask ourselves
That's the whole thing. Now, I'm going to share with you something here, and the message or the teaching or the seminar it comes from is called Cat and Dog Theology. Now, I want to just start off there by clarifying, personal disclosure, our family owns a cat, okay? And our cat actually is a pretty nice one. It almost is more dog-like in some things it does. This is not to personally put down your pet, all right? But there's some interesting traits that I think we can learn from in a humorous way. Let's watch.
We need to ask ourselves a very simple question about the Bible, and that question is this. Who is the main character of the Bible? The average Christian says God is the main character of the Bible, but they live and act as if humanity is the main character of the Bible, and humanity often replaces God on the throne. And what we have non-verbally communicated to God and to ourselves is that this book is all about us. Depending upon who the main character of the Bible is, you will have two totally different types of theology. We call them cat and dog theology. A dog says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me. You must be God. Whereas a cat says, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me. I must be God. Cats say this Bible is all about us. Dogs say, no, this Bible is all about the glory of God. Is life about us, or is life about revealing God's glory? Hey, if it were all about us, why did God create the earth to be covered with 3/4 of water where we can't even exist? Why are there galaxies we can't even comprehend? Life is not about us. It's about seeing, experiencing, and radiating the glory of God all around us. Taste reveals the glory of God. It's so hard to see the difference between a dog and a cat in church. Why? Well, they both have invited Christ into their lives. They both have quiet times. They both pray. They both act and look so Christian. The difference is in their heart attitude. Who is this book all about? If hell is over in that direction and heaven is over in that direction, here's how a cat gets to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. No, I don't want to go to hell.
All the time.
All they were worried about was themselves. The majority of what a cat knows is not incorrect. It is incomplete. That's why it's so hard to see cat theology in the church. Here is a typical cat prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Period. That prayer is not incorrect, it is incomplete. When I hear that prayer being prayed, deep down inside, I'm crying out, finish the prayer. Finish the prayer. He died on the cross for our sins so that we might... Cat, theology. It's silent. It's deadly. It's a cancer. And it's killing our churches.
We'll stop there. Isn't that good? Now, we're not putting down little calico cat, whoever you have. But we're talking about that focus. Where is our orientation? And this is crucial.
Because everywhere I go, I speak about
a
cancer.
So now we can understand
a cancer
with this,
that's silent,
Luke 2:14,
a cancer
the way
that
we
is
put
deadly,
together. Let's read it together. Go to the next slide.
That is
I purposely organized it for us.
The church. It's a cancer that I call.
There it is. Would you say it with me?
Theology.
Glory to God in the highest.
You're gonna be finding
and
out about
on earth,
cats and dogs.
Peace,
you know, it sounds cheesy.
Goodwill
all right, cat and dog theology,
toward men.
Don't worry about
now,
it.
I have very
hang
subtly
in
highlighted
to
three words.
Change
what do I highlight?
Your life.
Glory.
Let me start off by telling you,
peace,
I do have a unique style. I
goodwill
do use PowerPoint. There will be audio
and
files
I'm suggesting
that
you
come
that
up.
The key to joy
and these audio files, I also
three
speak
words
very quickly. I speak about 200 words a minute.
Joy, first of all, is found in glory.
All right. You cannot take notes
glory
that fast.
And
don't
I'm
even try.
You
if you want, you can go to the website and find notes. But I want you to sit back and relax and listen.
The
cat theology asks one simple question, and that question is this.
There we
who
are. Joy is found in glory.
Is
glory is representing worship. Worship
who is the main
is
character
source
of the Bible.
Of joy.
There are two possible main characters
now,
in this
we
book.
We have a picture
one
of
book,
worship
one,
just
one
a little
character
bit further
of this book
past
is
the angels
God
in Luke 2.
And if God is the main character
25,
of the Bible, we open up our Bible and we ask one
this is after
simple
Jesus
question.
Has been born. And Mary and Joseph have come to present him in the temple. And it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon.
Me?
And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel.
God
and the Holy Spirit was upon him.
But
and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had
people
seen
it's
the
about
Lord
us
Christ.
We are the main character.
What a revelation.
And if we read the Bible with that kind of perspective, we're asking a very different question. We ask the question of...
So he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit led him that day.
What do I get out of
otherwise
being
you would
saved
have missed the Christ.
What do
and when
I
the parents brought in the Christ,
him
the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God.
Out of these
said,
two main characters,
worship to the
God
Lord. He said,
is
Lord,
the main character.
Now you are letting
God
your
lives
depart in peace
to radiate and reflect
word
his glory,
my
and
eyes
that's what this life is all
seen
about.
Your
yet I also want to challenge you,
which
that
you have
the
prepared
average
before
Christian
the face
today,
of all peoples,
sitting
a
in the
light
pews
to bring revelation
across
to the
America
Gentiles
and across
and
the
glory
globe
of your people,
will say God
Israel
is the main character,
all,
but they'll live and act
that the
as
early
if
church has
people
sung, since very early
are the main
on
character.
It's called the Nuke Dimittis, which is
and
the
as a result
before
of that,
but they
people
sing it
have
basically
replaced
every day
God
in certain traditions of the church.
On
and
throne.
Notice what he said. I'm worshiping you.
Two very simple examples. If I were to ask you the question, why did Jesus Christ come to the earth? The obvious
peoples
answer is what?
A light to bring revelation to the
to save
Gentiles
us from our sins. Said with what kind of perspective? A God-centered
God
perspective or a people-centered perspective?
He was filled with worship and he
people-centered
was immersed
perspective
in it.
That's right.
And you know, Psalm 15:11 says,
"Every time we look at the Bible,
in your
we're asking one very simple question. It goes through an instant filter in our mind that says, what do I get out of this?
Presence is fullness." I don't know if you felt any joy this morning earlier.
What do I get out of it? WID.
Amazing.
What do people
fact
get out of it? What's in this for me? What's in this for
again
us? Everything
like
that comes
so
at us, either theologically or our friends or the glory of God or music or authority.
And by the way,
it goes through
to,
the filter.
At one point, just
what's
thank
in this for me?
Our tech team back there.
Let me ask you another
they make it happen
question
week in and week out.
What did God get out of Jesus?
You know, they have a lot of power back there. If they have any issue with us, they just press mute and we're
straight
all gone.
Back to the instant filter.
Just like that. So be sure to thank them so they don't
no
get tempted to do
along
that.
Along with us, he
but
got
but you know, worship
glory
is going beyond
honor
ourselves
praise
to join what is going on
worship
in heaven. Would you read that
all
with me?
All this and
worship
much, much more.
Worship is going beyond ourselves to join
why
what is going
somehow
on.
Somehow I have concluded
that's
that
the picture
I
of it.
Am the main
and there is joy in immersing ourselves in blessing
question
God
what's
and who he is. This
for
is the conundrum about
me
worship. And the thing we have to
so
keep
much
clear,
about
some have a cat approach
here
to worship.
Another
don't
question.
They?
Another. We're talking
what
about examples, two different examples. The second example.
And
we asked, you know, why did Christ
week
die on the cross?
It was
for our sins, people-centered perspective.
Let
me ask another question. What is our primary motivation
yeah, I don't mean to be catty, but that's
for not wanting
it
people
is,
to go to hell?
I'm sorry if I've affected your felines.
Suffer.
Oh, sorry, I got to keep moving right now.
God, Senator Peterson, who are we primarily worried about? People.
Yeah, that is a catastrophe right there. Thank you.
We're worried about people all the time.
Now
because
I'm getting
we think it's all about
back.
Us.
I'm sorry.
David has a very different perspective.
None of that was in my notes. I apologize.
These words.
But what there's a joy in immersing yourselves in worship and just personally and on a serious
will
note.
The dust
many of you are aware that we
will
came
it proclaim
to
your faithfulness?
This church back from
David is far more concerned about the fact that God is not going
to
be praised. And that's his primary concern. He's worried about what God gets out of it. He's not even worried about his own
just really in a lot of pain.
Death.
And not sure what to
very,
do. Just
very different perspective.
Well,
let's ask this
out.
Question.
So we
did
came.
Jesus focus primarily on us or his Father when he went to the cross?
Just
let's find out what the scriptures say. Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. He says these words. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that
encourage you.
He says, here it comes.
As much as you might look
here's why Christ came. He came so that what, Paul? So that the Gentiles, that means non-Jews, non-Jewish people, I assume the majority of us here in this room, so that we Gentiles, what? So that the Gentiles might not go to hell.
As we get blessed.
No,
as we bless
I need my audio files.
He blesses. We don't do it so we can be
let's
blessed.
Try that one again just to make
just
sure I've got my audio on here. Sorry. So that the Gentiles might not go to hell.
Hey. Glory. Second of all, joy is found in peace. Peace.
Sorry.
But I'm going to suggest to you that peace.
Try all you can to be ready if you, know, when you get a presentation on, and I always
joy,
screw
peace
up
represents
somehow. That's
intercession.
My daughter releases, those are my kids'
we're bringing
voices.
Heaven to earth.
So that the Gentiles might not go to hell.
Just live and worship.
That's not what it says.
God says, no, there's more.
But what a perfect place to say it. Why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say Christ came so that the Gentiles wouldn't have to go to hell?
Anna,
I'll tell you why.
The very next section.
Christianity
Luke 2,
is not
verse 36,
about not going to hell.
It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher.
So
she had she was part of a very special
what
pedigree.
Does Paul say?
She was of a great
Christ
age
came so that the Gentiles
and had lived with her
what?
Husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, it's not clear whether she was a widow for 84 years.
You and I are saved for a reason. We are here. We have been born again. We have a relationship with Christ so that we might glorify God.
If they made it through infancy.
By the way, you know,
so I'm thinking that she probably was about 84 years old.
But you know what? Hell was never
if she was, she'd be over 100 or whatever, and that'd be amazing. But at the very least, this lady had been a widow for, and I wrote it down here, about 60 or 70 years.
That's why we're here.
And it says during that time,
Jesus endured the cross.
He did not depart
from
the temple, but served God
with fasting
and prayers.
He was going on with his disciples, walking along the road. He was talking with his disciples. His heart was there, and he said these words.
And coming to that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him and all those to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem.
It was for this very reason I came into this hour, Father. Now he's done addressing his disciples. Now he's talking to his heavenly Father. What does he say? He knows the pain. He knows the agony he's going to go through. The nails are going to be put through his hands and through his feet.
I don't know if anybody here
he knows the enduring pain that there's going to be. Does he say, Father, save these kind, wonderful, worthy people from hell. They don't deserve it.
But this one doesn't say that either.
Do you realize that you get in trouble with somebody if you don't respond to a text within like an hour?
What did he say? Father?
It's hard to stay up with this world, isn't it? But this lady was faithful to pray.
When Christ went to the cross, the primary focus was his Father's.
Didn't tell anybody about that.
Glory.
She didn't even make a credit about herself. She just
like
did it. So intercession is going beyond ourselves to bring God's touch where it is most desperately needing. Would you read that with me? Intercession is going beyond ourselves to bring God's touch where it is most desperately needed.
It's in our
that
music.
Is the job of an
it's
intercessor, and
read.
It's the joy of an intercessor.
Everywhere.
And I actually need another volunteer today, and I want to thank.
It's killing us.
Oh, I could be
Jesus
awesome.
Died
got
for
all
us.
Excited there.
Yes. There. He died
let's,
for the Father's
Lauren, can
glory.
You actually come up and
yes.
be my needy
which
person?
Which one seems to be primary? Jesus seems to put a priority
just hold
of
this
the
like
Father's
that. That's all you're going to do, but I need you to
he
hold.
He did it primarily
okay?
to glorify
like
the Father. That was
everybody.
His driving
you're a needy
passion.
Person, and this is your voice, okay? Kind of like that. Thank you.
Doesn't Jesus love
all right.
us? Yes,
so,
he loves
this is
us.
Her voice. Now, I
so
want to go
God
ahead and play
us? Yes, he loves us.
Voice.
As high as the heavens are above the earth.
Nothing's happening.
That's a reflection of his
we'd be here a long time trying to get that to play.
And what he
we have an issue, don't we?
Hey, depending upon who
What's our
is
issue?
The main character of the Bible, you're
yeah,
going to
plug
totally
in.
Different
All right, well, I'll
types
just plug in. Stay right
theology.
There.
I'm going to call them cat and dog
Try again.
Theology.
I actually happen to know
cat
that there's an
dog
outlet
theology.
Right here. I researched
yeah,
that a little
cheesy.
Earlier.
You're going to like it. Hopefully, it's going to work
And that's
for
the
you.
Power
goes.
She needs.
Okay, now
just stand
I love
right there.
My cat and my dog. Here's our dog, Jasmine.
I didn't plan on that
Jasmine.
One. I just pulled the plug.
She's a great dog. And here's our cat, Smokey,
needy person.
Simba.
All right.
We
so
love
we have
Simba.
An issue, don't we?
Now, cats and dogs are very, very different.
I'm trying to do something techie.
Okay, coming up to you, they are totally
Hopefully
different.
Hopefully I got it right there.
When my,
All right, so
when my,
the issue is God
sees me
and his power is available
driveway.
To this person.
She gets out of her
this
dog
isn't
house.
Plugged
she
in.
Runs around the car and barks until
this
I
is the
open
picture
the
of
door.
An
she puts her front paws up on the seat. I scratch her behind her ears.
See
her tail goes 1,000 miles an hour.
I have not practiced this in this moment, so we'll see what happens. It's like all science experiments.
When I get out of the car.
Hopefully this plug
walk into
actually
the house,
does
go into the same room where my cat is.
Let's see what happens. The intercessor connects to God.
Doesn't even acknowledge me.
And then connects to that person.
Won't
in
even
prayer.
Look at me. He might get up and rub his head up against my leg, but that's his way of saying I own you, pal.
And they make sure all the
And by the way, I want some food.
Order.
I heard the best joke yesterday. You know, I teach cat and dog theology. I've taught it for years, and everybody sends me old cat and dog jokes.
Did we get
I
it?
Everyone.
I know. It needs a CAT scan, I know.
Woman said, yeah, yeah.
All right.
I got to tell you this
This
joke.
Person also, that was really bad.
And she says there's a master, a dog, a man
there we go.
Who's on a ladder,
Thank
and the
you.
Ladder's
We're
falling,
the
and
CAT
he's
scan
hanging
works.
By the tree. And he's almost
so
about to die.
This,
and the dog looks at his master and says, oh, my master, he's about to hurt himself. What can I do to save him?
And we give her a little power because we keep
oh,
praying
no.
over her.
I don't know how to use a can opener.
This is her voice comes forth. It's amazing. You're going to sound a lot like
There's
a man, too, by the way.
Another joke about cats and dogs. You've probably heard this one before. It goes simply like this. A dog says, you pet me, you feed me, you love me.
All right, can we give Lauren a hand there? Susan.
Whereas a cat says the exact same thing.
Now, I want you to notice here.
You pet me, you
This
feed
actually
me,
is kind of attractive looking.
Me. You love me.
This outlet's kind of attractive looking. God's power. And then this person now gets the attention. It's their voice. What's
that
the part that doesn't
look
that good?
That joke characterizes Christianity around the world
My
today.
My little extension cord
There
here.
Are dogs and there
As
are cats.
As intercessors, we don't
there
get a lot of
recognition,
There are
people who say, this book
we?
Is all about God.
People
we
don't
live
really
to glorify
notice.
God.
In fact, they
and
never
there are people
even
who
pay
say,
attention.
This book
Actually,
is all about
what
us.
Is, they pay attention
God
when this
lives
doesn't
for
work,
us.
Don't they?
It's all about
yeah,
us.
Most of the time we pay attention to our tech people is when it doesn't work.
Everything.
That's why I have to preach them every once in a while, because they're used to being yelled at all the time.
And every
but
person
you as an
you're going to find cat attitudes and dog attitudes.
Nobody may actually know
and every one
what
of
you're
us,
doing.
You're going to find
but
cat
go to the next point there, if you would, please.
No one's a perfect
there is
dog,
joy
no one's
in being part of God's
Ask
answer.
Ask my wife,
no
she'll say, oh, yeah, Bob's
knows.
Got a lot of cat attitudes in him. A lot of it
Recently,
comes
this
out.
Happened
humans,
for me. I saw that there was a situation where two people needed to get together.
But I want you to look at some differences between cats and dogs.
And I was able to work it out without them fully realizing
Differences between cats and dogs. In
so
their attitudes
credit,
in them.
I got a lot
now, I'm going
to
be focusing on the extremes, okay?
Happened.
Extreme cat versus
God is
extreme
calling
dog.
You to
Some of
worship.
Us, all of
but
us,
God
fall somewhere in the middle.
Where you can
okay,
pray
two different main characters results in two motivations
on this side
for getting to heaven.
May know.
Two motivations for getting to heaven. We all get to heaven through Jesus. We all know that, but there's two
and
motivations for getting there.
God's.
Cats, you see,
God doesn't miss it.
Walk away from hell.
Just like
if hell is over there
on earth,
and heaven is in that direction,
in heaven,
here's how
and
a cat
it to earth. That's what we do as intercessors. But there's one more phrase, right? The one
I
we were working
to
through. Goodwill
no.
toward all men. Joy
hell.
Is found
no.
in goodwill. And I'm defining this as evangelism. Extending the good news to
hell,
others.
I don't want to go to hell.
Evangelism
no. So they bow their head, they say a prayer, they invite Christ
the
in their lives, and adds faith
to
them,
others.
They're saved.
Go ahead with that point there. Of course,
they've
literally,
gotten into the kingdom
of
God focused on
good news. So listen, then go back to our chapter a little earlier, right after that song that the angels sang. It says in Luke 2:15 with the shepherds. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went right away. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, here's the important thing. Now, when they had seen him, they walked away and they hid it and kept it to themselves.
Are they worried about hell?
That's the wrong version of the Bible, isn't it? They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard
it
marveled at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them.
We found a treasure!
Were a vital part of the society.
How many of you know joyless Christians?
They were, and specifically these shepherds, most likely were overseeing the flocks that were going to be sacrificed in the temple just 5 miles
away. Why is that? Why do we know so many joyless Christians?
But there's one problem with shepherds. Because they were around animals all the time, they actually themselves couldn't go to the temple. They were considered unclean at all times, and they were considered not trustworthy. And yet, they didn't let that bother them. They shared the good news, no matter what kind of stigma might be on them. The only qualification they needed was they had some good news, and they wanted to share it.
So much in the Christian life.
Mr. Sorrentino.
Obedience.
Isn't that the
cats and dogs both go to obedience
for
school.
To come join you, that they have some good
they
news.
Both
they
both want obedience
it.
In their lives.
I don't know about you, but if you've maybe heard of a good sale or something like that, I know that the way
master,
social media works, you share it.
Want the master
you forward
it,
you spread it. That's what evangelism is. Evangelism is going beyond ourselves
Lord,
to share incredible news where only bad news exists.
God,
it's that simple. It's not going and trying to make a hard sell on somebody. It's not taking your Bible and trying to knock them over with it. It's just sharing good news. In fact, there is joy in making someone's day for eternity.
Cats and dogs both have quiet times.
It's amazing
what
happens.
They both seek after God.
I have an interesting story to share with you. My daughter, Ava, is taking quite a few violin lessons. She started with me, but at a point she got way past me, so I couldn't teach her anymore. So I had to find another teacher, and he has been a blessing. And this man is
where is God's glory shining in my marriage?
Jewish by heritage.
Where is God's glory shining in my singleness?
Now the joy is,
where is God's glory shining in my parenting?
Involved in his life.
How is God's glory being radiated through me at the office?
I've given him the gospel of God.
How is God's glory shining through me as a neighbor in the neighborhood? Where is God's glory in the Iraq war? Where is God's glory in the China earthquake?
So he's not quite there yet, but I wished him well. We were, I was just reminding him that we weren't coming for our lesson on a Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. We had a concert, and he wrote me back, and he said this: I heard wonderful things about the concert last night. I'm sad I couldn't be there in person, but I had long promised my girlfriend to split costs and help deliver Thanksgiving dinners to 4 families from her church that needed a little help this holiday. This is a Jewish man. Last night presented a perfect time to do that. It's a predominantly Latino church, and of course everybody knows her there. She didn't want to bring the food herself because she was afraid the families might see it as a charity. Instead, I pretended to be a delivery boy and she stayed in the car. The gifts were totally anonymous. It was an amazing experience filled with tears of joy and gratitude.
What?
Why?
The secret to a happy life may truly be given. I will never forget that evening and treasure it. Now, this is a man who isn't fully even serving the Lord yet. But he was sharing good news.
I don't really care what you
want. And he said it was one of the most moving nights of my life. There was joy there. I'm not even quite sure what he did for Thanksgiving, but this was his Thanksgiving in a powerful way. I want to remind you, we had to reschedule the visit to Woodbridge because it was really just raining. And Pastor Mike was talking to me, and we figured out most people wouldn't even open their doors if it's just raining. So it's next Saturday at 11. I invite you to join Pastor Mike and myself, and I'm hoping to bring several of my children. Let's go and simply share the good news. If you can hand something and you can smile. How many of you can smile?
Nope.
A couple of you didn't raise your hand. We'll pray for you.
Look at the
how many of you can hand something to someone?
Like this,
all right, a couple people didn't raise their hand on that
look
one.
More
most of you are good there.
Dogs,
if you can
in
do
the area
those two things and pray
and
silently, let others that
cats
like
want
talking
all the perks,
but come
but they don't want
and share
any
the good
of
news.
The responsibilities.
There's joy.
Here's an example of a typical
and that's truly
cat,
there. But there's another part of this sharing good
the
news.
Nation, okay?
And let's go to the next slide
Lord,
here because it's very important.
We don't want you in our government.
Sharing good news requires forgiveness, a clean spirit, and a clean slate. Just stop with that one
wombs,
there.
That
one above there.
Right,
I want to share with you
and
the
Lord,
ultimate
we want to be able to print and sell pornography
and
all over the world and portray homosexuality and immorality as normal in our media. It's Jonah. Called the freedom
listen
of speech,
listen to the
God.
End of chapter 3,
dear Lord,
at the beginning of chapter
the
4.
The terrorists are attacking.
Then God saw their
God
works, referring to this series, the mortal
America.
Enemies of Israel, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Chapter 4,
oh, no,
but
sorry,
it displeased Jonah exceedingly,
America,
and he became angry.
God,
he preached for them
well,
to repent,
what?
And they repented, and it made him mad.
The Bible is.
So he prayed to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? I said, therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And it really bugs me.
One, who relents from doing harm. That's a little added in there. Theology.
Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.
Theology.
Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be
angry?
Jonah's got some issues.
Gospel,
he got some unforgiveness issues.
Gospel.
He has some
anger. What do I mean
issues
by that?
He wanted to go and he said, I'm going to sit here and watch you toast.
Salvation, okay? What's a cat thinking when a cat comes to know the Lord?
Yeah, the good news
a cat
is, the
comes to know Christ, they pray, they invite
Jonah,
Christ into their life, and they say, praise God, I'm saved.
The book of Jonah.
And
so
it
I believe
stops
the
there.
Untold story is that
it
Jonah actually
there
did have a change of heart, kind of like the great.
That is not incorrect. It is
three times bigger.
Incomplete.
But at the moment, this
a
is
dog
at
prays and invites Christ into his life, and he says,
the
praise God, I'm saved
in our lives,
to glorify
things,
God.
One, instead of goodwill,
there's a purpose for my salvation.
Good.
That purpose is
that's
that I live to glorify God.
And
I live to glorify God and how I date this guy and how I date the girl. I live to glorify God and how I do my job at the office. I live to glorify God by how I treat my spouse, by how I treat my children, how I treat my grandchildren. I live to make God famous.
Jonah would say, anybody whose nationality is not Assyrian can come to my Christmas
party. How about prayers? Cat prayers are very incomplete. Here's a typical cat prayer that I hear all the time. It goes like this. It says, dear Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins.
We're going to have a good Christmas.
Amen.
We've harbored that ill will.
That prayer is not incorrect. It is.
It's time to forgive.
Incomplete.
It's time.
When a cat prays that prayer, as soon as they hear that their sins are forgiven, they stop the prayer. I'm in prayer meetings. I hear that all the time. And it's deep down in my soul, I am crying out, finish the prayer. Finish the prayer. He died on the cross for our sins so that we might honor God, we might glorify God, we might point to Him for His mercy.
Can you imagine the joy that could happen?
Once a cat hears that their sins are forgiven, they forget about the rest of the prayer. Why? They were only in it for themselves to begin with. And as a result, their sins are forgiven. They're not going to go to hell. They get to go to heaven. This is great. They stop there. It's not an incorrect prayer. It's just
incomplete. You see, joy is found in worship. Glory to God.
How are some blessings?
Joy is found in peace.
Incomplete.
Intercession.
In cat theology, cats
go
around with a big bucket.
In evangelism.
And they pray to God, dear Lord, bless me, bless me.
And actually, there is another great theologian, another special lady that simply said, let it go. We need to do so as well. So before we go to that video, let's go to the next slide, if you would, please. I'm going to ask you to stand up for a moment. I want us to put this all together. I'm pulling this together here. Next slide, please. I've got hand motions for you. Now, my wife does this all the time. Mine are very simple. Yeah, Olivia's looking at me like, what are you going to do now, Dad? I want you to remember this. Say with me, glory to God in the highest. Well, let's say it together. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Make praying hands. Maybe as a little baby, or you know, a young kindergarten, you make praying hands. Goodwill toward men. Let's do it together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. One more time. Now pretend like you don't see it on the slide. Ready? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You may be seated. Here is my big idea. I'm pulling this all together. Here is all the points I wanted to make out of this message. Let's go right to the next slide. Christmas joy is found in eternal things, in going beyond ourselves in worship, intercession, and sharing the good news with others. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Would you read it with me? Christmas joy is found in eternal things, in going beyond ourselves in worship, intercession, and sharing the good news with others. It's eternal. That's what brings joy. It's going beyond us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about you. It's about Him and what He wants to do through you. And you're going to find joy when you engage in worship, in prayer, and when sharing the good news naturally with others. Now, I'm really excited about this. Now, I'm going to try to communicate my excitement in a way that you get it. I teach music history at Regent University, and I end the first semester here with a focus on two of the greatest composers that ever lived, Bach and Handel. Amen. Now, I would love to take the next hour and tell you all about them, but I have 30 seconds of a very familiar part you're going to hear. This is the way Handel, who, by the way, wrote the entire Messiah in 24 days. This is a portion of it. I'm just going to give you a sliver of it, where he gives what he felt God gave him was the melody of the angels. But the amazing thing about it, I want to explain it to you, is, and the very first part, it says, glory to God. He put all the notes up high because he was in heaven. Worship is up here. Then you're going to hear it gets soft and goes, and peace on earth, really low, because that was connecting to people here on earth. And then after that, it goes, and goodwill, goodwill, goodwill. And goodwill is spread everywhere. Handel illustrates my message perfectly. I don't know if he knew he was going to do this. Well, I don't know I was going to do this. But let's watch and just listen to that. Three things right there. Oh, crank it up. That's worship. Intercession. Evangelism. All right. You're going to have to listen to yourself. Isn't that heavenly music? In fact, by the way, Handel was reported to have said as he finished the Hallelujah Chorus that he just saw the heavens open before him and saw God. Amazing stuff. But the amazing thing about that is glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The other thing that's amazing about that song is it ends softly to recreate the fact that angels showed up and then suddenly they were gone. It's an amazing piece of music. You need to not just take, oh, that's just Christmas. It's God speaking through that. Now, would you stand with me? We're going to sing a couple hymns, carols real quick. I don't have a great voice. I may mute here so you can do this together. But I want you to notice just in these simple songs, the picture of worship, intercession. One of them talks about God made me a watchman. And then we also find evangelism. Let's see if I can pick a good note to start with. Honey, can you maybe give me a good note? Angels. Let's do that one. That one works. It's a B double flat. I don't know what it is. Ready? Sing. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joy. Here's the worship. Gloria in excelsis Dei. You have to repeat it. Gloria in excelsis Dei. And the shepherds sharing. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the glad... Here's the evangelism. Which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. And now go tell it. Go tell it on the mountain. Over. You're going to do a beep. Everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus. There's evangelism. When I was a seeker, I sought both an intercessor seeking the Lord. I asked the Lord to help me, and he held me returned on the way. But bum, bum, go. Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ. Here's the intercessor part. He made me a watchman upon a city. And these are Paul's words. And if I am a Christian, I am the least of. Because it's all about him. Ba-dum, bum, bum, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ. Oh, one more time. And go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen? Amen. Quickly bow your heads with me as we close. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just need to make it very clear that joy always begins with a relationship with Jesus. It's not about you, but it does require you making a decision to surrender your life to the Lord. Is there anyone here as I close in prayer, just very simply and quickly, you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know you've been searching for joy in a lot of different places, but you'd ask, would you just pray for me because today I am choosing to follow Jesus Christ and I want to serve him the rest of my life. That's the complete prayer. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor Brown, that's me. Pray for me as you close. Thank you, Lord. Now, with head still bowed, I want to also ask this. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you would say, I am a Christian, but I've been looking for joy in all the wrong places. But today God has shown me that joy is in internal things. Joy is in going beyond. And would you pray for me that my focus would shift the rest of this Christmas time? Anyone that raise their hand and say, that's me. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. You can put them down. And lastly, but another very important one is some of you might say, I am a Christian, but God is showing me there's somebody I need to forgive. And this is causing my Christmas to be laced with avoidance and escapism because I don't want to deal with this. But as we've heard this message, I'm being challenged that God's saying, I need to release this for good. Anyone that say, pray for me, Pastor Brad, I need to release forgiveness. Thank you. Thank you. Good. Put your hands down. And finally, I'm going to just pray with you that God will show you what to do. So, Father, I lift up each person here. I thank you, Father, that you have called us to call people to have a relationship with you. I pray that it will happen in a natural way. I pray for those that are Christians here that know they've been looking in all the wrong places for joy. Help them to get a new perspective today, as we're going to learn in the new year. New attitudes. There will be a new you, Lord, as they begin to understand that it's not about this world. It's about eternal things. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about going beyond ourselves. And Lord, very specifically right now, I pray for those that need to forgive. Father, there are those here that have been deeply hurt and wounded. And things have been done to them that would cause us all to shudder. But Lord, it's not helping them to hold on to that. Unforgiveness. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you would release them to release it. Set them free right now. Set them free. Let this Christmas be the most freeing Christmas they've ever had because they finally forgave that person. Let it be so, Lord. And now, Father, show us all how and where we can worship you, how and where you want us to be interceding for others, and how and where you want us to simply share the good news of Christmas. Thank you, Lord. Would you do it with me one more time? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Joy is coming. Amen.